We come this morning to Katwa. By some great fortune, somehow, we've come to this very, very honored sacred place. Sacred because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to accept sannyas. And the significance of his sannyas is disclosed within the Leela itself. Just point out the few spots. In this direction, facing the deity, you see a very large tree. Underneath that tree is where Mahaprabhu's head was shaved when he was accepting sannyas. As you go out the gate just before, to the left, is the samadhi, the Kesha samadhi, the samadhi of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hair, as well as the samadhi of Gadadhar Das, who came here after Mahaprabhu's sannyas, after he had engaged in some service for Mahaprabhu along with Lord Nityananda, and also took care of Mother Sachi and Vishnu Priya until they left, and then he came here to Katwa and established this deity of Mahaprabhu, then in turn his disciple and so on. Through the gate, as we're going towards the main gate over to the right, there's a samadhi of the barber, Madhu. As you're looking at that small shrine on the right-hand side, low on the right-hand side is the samadhi of Madhu, and a picture of Madhu collapsing before the pile of hair of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he just shaved. And Keshava Bharati and Mahaprabhu speaking, Mahaprabhu receiving his danda. The 2 feet are Keshava Bharati and Mahaprabhu's feet. And going to the left along the side is the samadhi of Keshava Bharati. And this is one of 3 deities that Gadadhar Das established, deities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his worshipable Lord and Master. I was thinking to first describe Gadadhar Das. According to Gaura Gonadesh Deepika, which is a literature describing each one of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's principal associates, identifying who they are in Krishna Leela. So Gaura Gonadesh Deepika identifies Gadadhar Das as Chandra Kanti. Chandrakanti is the manifestation of Srimati Radharani's opulence. How opulent is Srimati Radharani? However opulent that is, that's Gadadhar Das. According to Gaura Gonadesh Deepika, in addition, Balaram's dear friend Purnananda also entered within the body of Gadadhar Das for some special purposes of serving Mahaprabhu. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur discusses this verse from Gaura Gonadesh Deepika in the following way. He describes that Gadadhar Das is the effulgence or the luster of Radha. When you see in the picture, by the samadhi is a picture of Srimati Radharani. And you see effulgence from the body of Srimati Radharani. That effulgence, that luster, is Gadadhar Das. Appearing here in Gaudadesh to assist Mahaprabhu in his mood of Srimati Radharani. We know that very nice verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, taking from Sarup Damodar's description, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Radha and Krishna combined. It's Krishna in the Radha Bhava Dhyuti Subalitam. Nami Krishna Sorupam. Krishna Sorupam, the very self-same Krishna in both the Bhava and the Dhyuti. So the Bhava of Radha, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, Gadadhar Pandit, as in our Panchatattva, Gadadhar Pandit is Radha herself. In the mood of Radha, in the bhava of Radha, Mahaprabhu comes, and the duty or the luster of Radha, and the bhava of Radha. So the luster or the effulgence, or again, Bhakti Siddhanta refers to the opulence of Radha, is Gadadhar Das. So, how elevated is Gadadhar Das? Beyond the stretch of the imagination. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, it describes the first time they met when we were at the house of Nandanacharya. We heard the first time Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meeting. And they're eternal brothers. So imagine Radha meeting the luster of Radha. What that must have been. It was on the journey that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was making from Puri, heading for Vrindavan, but he took a little detour. He went to Shantipur, and then to Kumarahatta, and then to Panihati at the house of Raghava Pandit. So Gadadhar Das was in Panihati, and he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to the house of Raghava Pandit. And he dropped everything and ran to the house of Raghava Pandit. And he reached the house of Raghava Pandit. And he offered his ecstatic, prostrated obeisances before Mahaprabhu, who then raised his feet and placed his feet on the head of Gadadhar Das. That was their meeting. It's also described later, Mahaprabhu arranged for Lord Nityananda to come. The devotees had come to Puri to receive Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, participate with him during the Rath Yatra festival, and stayed in Puri for the 4 months of the rainy season. And then in a very confidential conversation that only Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were participants in, some discussion, and Mahaprabhu indicated to to Lord Nityananda that I have descended in this world to spread the holy name of the Lord as the means of deliverance from this age of Kali, the age of quarrel and dissension and hypocrisy. But I've taken this sannyas order, and now by Sachi's command or request, I'm here in Puri. So I would like you to go to Gaudadesh and throughout the whole land, Gaudadesh meaning what is now, what was then Bengal, the whole area of northeast India. And there you should propagate the holy name of the Lord. And Lord Nityananda was simply wanting to serve Lord Chaitanya, but he was feeling there'll be so much separation. How will I bear that? Mahaprabhu indicated, I will be with you. And he gave him a number of associates to go with for that purpose of his preaching. And the names that are mentioned include Gadar Das, Krishnadas Pandit, Parameshwari Das, Purandara Pandit, Raghunath Vaidya, Udaran Dutt Thakur, and others. And this group of devotees, under the direction of Lord Nityananda, well, Lord Nityananda was already like an avadut, completely beyond, so absorbed in spiritual ecstasy that he was completely beyond any external formalities, conventional ways of behavior. And they all became like that. Gadadhar Das was continuously in the mood of a gopi. Sometimes as they were traveling in groups, Chaitanya Bhagavat describes, they would just have ecstatic kirtan going for hours and hours and hours and hours and not even knowing where they were going. And they would ask people, which way to Vrindavan? You know how it is. And people would say, oh, that way. How do you go? Oh, that way we go. And for hours and hours and hours they would have ecstatic kirtan. Then somewhere hours later, which way to Vrindavan? Oh, that way to Vrindavan. Haribo, that way to Vrindavan. And traveling like transcendental madmen. One time Gadadhar Das became so overwhelmed in his mood of a gopi, he just started calling out very loudly, yogurt for sale? Anyone would like to buy some yogurt? And Abhiram Thakur, they were having such ecstatic kirtan, he entered into a trance where he stood in a threefold bending form right in the middle of the street for 9 hours. It wasn't just like, you know, a cute demonstration. He was in a trance of ecstasy. Sometimes two other devotees, they would go through the streets as the kirtan was in an ecstatic mood, and they would just enter into the mood of cowherd boys and call out, hi, hi, as with sticks, as if they were herding cows right in the middle of wherever they were. They were completely dissociated from whatever their environment was. Purandara Pandit climbed a tree, and when he got to the top of the tree, he called out very loudly, he shouted, I am Angada, and jumped down from the tree. As they were traveling in kirtan, they would stay in some place sometimes in such a state of ecstatic love. It's described as Nityananda, his eyes flooded with tears of ecstasy and love of God. And as he would simply glance at people, they would similarly become flooded with love of God and become mad in ecstasy. Then they in turn would turn and see other people, and they in turn would become flooded with madness of ecstasy. Just like when we have kirtan, little children come. The little children, as they were dancing and dancing, the little children would also dance, but not like in imitation, in an ecstatic love of God. Sometimes for 72 hours straight. Those who have children know the impossibility of this. They would not even think of eating. They would not think of sleeping or drinking water. They were just beyond the bodily conception of life, enchanting an ecstatic love of Godhead. In this way, the associates of Lord Nityananda were flooding the whole countryside in this direction, in that direction. Even when they made it to Bengal. Continuously they were in this state of ecstasy. Gadadhar Das saw a jug of Ganges water. He immediately went over and took the jug of Ganges water and said, "Milk! Anyone would like to buy some milk?" In the mood of a gopi. Mad, intoxicated in love of God. They were in one place for some time, and it became known that the local qazi was particularly inimical, aggressively inimical, you know the type, aggressively inimical. He had such disdain for the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Everyone in the whole town was becoming flooded with ecstatic love of God, except the qazi and his men. So one night, in the same mood of ecstatic love, Chaitanya Bhagavat describes, Gadadhar Das went right into the big palace of the chand, or the qazi, and called out very loudly, "O qazi, please come and chant the holy name of Krishna." The qazi was awoken and told his guards, "Who is the madman who has come into my home? Please see who it is and remove him immediately." But Gadadhar Das was in such a ecstatic state, they didn't know what to do. So the qazi came to the stairway and looked over the stairway railing and, "Who are you? Why have you come here?" "I'm a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, who have advented in this world to bring everyone to the state of love of God by chanting Krishna's holy name. O qazi, please chant Krishna's holy name. He is your master. He is your Lord. He is your best friend. Call Krishna's name." Normally the qazi would have had him arrested and beaten and put in jail. But because of the ecstatic mood of Gadadhar Das, he was silenced and said, "Whoever you are, come back tomorrow. Leave my home. I'll chant Krishna's name tomorrow." Gadadhar Das erupted in ecstasy. "What tomorrow? You've said Krishna's name. Today you have said Krishna's name, and for this day forward, there will be no obstacle in your life. Krishna!" And he left the qazi's home in ecstatic love of God. In this way, the associates of Lord Nityananda inundated everywhere they went, flooding everyone in ecstatic love of God. The hometown of Gadadhar Das is said to be a small place, some miles north of Calcutta, so he would reside there sometimes. I didn't know how to pronounce it, that's why I said someplace. Aryadaha. Aryadaha. Close? Good enough. Okay. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left to take sannyas, Mother Sachi and his wife Vishnupriya were alone in Sachi's home, so Gadadhar Das sometimes would go there and take care of Mother Sachi and Vishnupriya. Then after the disappearance of Sachi and Vishnupriya, again he came here to Katwa, in fact this very place where we are now, and he made this his residence. And from here he conducted the ecstatic chanting of the holy name. The deity that's on the altar was established by Gadadhar Das. And it is said that Gadadhar Das established three deities of Mahaprabhu. They're in two other places besides here. And this is his personal deity. He had one very, very learned disciple, Yadunandan Das. Yadunandan Das in turn conducted the worship of the deity, and in this way, through passage of time, the worship of the deity has continued. At the time of his departure here in Katwa, Srinivasacharya, who was younger than Gadadhar Das and Mahaprabhu, were going to visit the place of Srinivasacharya for breakfast and have kirtan and katha there. Very, very sublime place. He came here to Katwa and held a huge, a notoriously, very famously huge festival in honor of the departure of Gadadhar Das and established his samadhi over here. Now we were told before the samadhi was made, the hair of Mahaprabhu could be seen from time to time. They could bring the hair and people would beg the pujari, may I have little bakshish and I'll have some strand of hair. You have? You have seen?
I don't have it, but I have seen. I tried to give some money, but he said no.
No, no. So the hair started disappearing, and so they decided with the hair and samadhi so it would stop disappearing. It was in a box. Long hair, long box. So the spiritual significance, just like we've been to the place of Mahaprabhu's appearance and Lord Nityananda's appearance, this unique feature of the personality of Godhead accepting sannyas. There are many, 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 many leelas in the forms of the Lord as they appear in this world, but this is unique, this accepting of the order of sannyas. And it's a very, there's a very deep meaning in it. So we'll try to explore that deep meaning and describe, therefore, the significance of this, the spiritual significance, the mood of Katwa, the Supreme Lord renouncing the world. After this incident we described previously, After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received initiation from Ishwara Puri in Gaya, immediately the ecstasy of love of God awakened in the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and from that point further it was just becoming more ecstatic and pervasive. So much so that Mahaprabhu could no longer continue his duty as a teacher of Sanskrit and grammar. It's just, everything was Krishna. His household duties were absent. It was just Krishna, madness and ecstasy of love for Krishna. And in one of those moments of madness, of ecstasy, he was calling the name Gopi, Gopi, mad like ecstasy, the ecstatic mood of Gadadhar Das, who always considered himself in the mood of a gopi. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments, please note, this mood was internal. It wasn't the Saki Beki practice that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur soundly smashed in Puri. One Baba was teaching like that. Gadadhar Das was not practicing. He was in that ecstatic mood of a gopi. Nothing externally demonstrated it. That was his mood. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes, he was both a Gaura Bhakta and a Nityananda Bhakta. In the Gaura Bhakta, he was in the mood of a gopi. And his mood of being the servant of Lord Nityananda, he had the mood of an intimate friend, but not an intimate friend like a cowherd boyfriend, but an intimate gopi friend. In this way, Gadadhar Das exhibited transcendental moods, and as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also exhibiting transcendental moods of ecstasy, his worldly students couldn't at all understand. So they came and chastised him. Why are you saying gopi, gopi? You should be chanting Om and nice Vedic mantras and studying Vedanta Sutra and teaching us grammar and logic. Why are you doing like this? Criticizing to his face, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu picked up a stick. And when he saw the stick, the Brahmin went running. And Mahaprabhu chased him. Get out of here, never come back again. And that Brahmin student went to the other students, what kind of person has Nimai Pandit become? What does he think he is? He's ready to strike a Brahmin. We should take sticks and go beat him. Mahaprabhu, knowing that this was their mood, in confidence he spoke to Lord Nityananda, I am like a physician who has made pipali khanda, a preparation from Ayurvedic medicine that is meant to reduce mucus. But instead of reducing the mucus, instead of curing the disease, it has inflamed the disease. Nobody else could understand, but Lord Nityananda could understand. At once he could understand. Nimai Pandit is going to leave home. And Lord Chaitanya explained further. In a private place, you understand the purpose of my appearing in this world. I've come for the deliverance of the conditioned souls in this age of Kali. But how unfortunate, while they were caught in the bondage of material existence by one rope, now they're bound by millions of ropes. Because I've come for this purpose, they're not understanding anything higher. They're simply criticizing and making offense, and because of these offenses, they're now more implicated in material existence. Therefore, I must leave this household ashram. If I leave the household ashram, at least this much, these people who have the social convention, thinking themselves as brahmanas, they can then think of me as a sannyasi, and they'll offer their respects to a sannyasi, and by offering their even formal respects to a sannyasi, they'll be transcendentally benefited instead of being implicated in reactions to their offenses. Nityananda, you are my brother. I've disclosed my mind in a confidential way. I am simply seeking your kind blessings, that I shave my head, take the sannyas order, and leave home. Lord Nityananda went through a series of responses. First, it was shocked and silent. He couldn't speak a word. When he regained his composure somewhat, he then spoke. Yes, it's hot. He said, "You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as such, you're fully independent. You can do as you wish, and simply your will then will become fact. Who can check your will? I don't understand the purpose of your doing this, but I am simply your servant. Whatever your wish, I will accept." Then he entered another mood after his head dropped and just smashed in disbelief. And his first thought then went to Mother Sachi. And he pleaded with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Your beloved mother, she's a widow. She has no one but you to protect her. You are her life and soul. If you leave, you will kill your mother. How can you do this?" He was in such a terrible state of emotion. Mahaprabhu was firm, exhibiting one of the six opulences of the Personality of Godhead, his opulence of renunciation. "I must do this. I must go." And slowly Mahaprabhu started informing other people. Mukunda. He went to Mukunda and told Mukunda, "Very soon, I'm going to leave Navadvip, shave my head, take Kamandalu and Danda, and enter the sannyas ashram." Mukunda couldn't believe it. He was stunned. He couldn't speak. Then Mahaprabhu went to Gadadhar Pandit and informed Gadadhar Pandit, his life and soul, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar Pandit felt like a bolt of lightning had just struck his head. In this way, one after another, Mahaprabhu let it be known that he was going to accept sannyas and leave Navadvip. Everybody in Navadvip, it was like Krishna leaving Vrindavan. How could they live without Mahaprabhu? They had become so attached to him in transcendental love of God. they've become attached to him and he's going to leave. In time, news got to Mother Sachi. Mother Sachi was struck, stunned. For days, she couldn't eat or sleep with the thought that my son Nimai is going to leave me. My children, they all died. Vishwarup, he left and accepted sannyas. My husband is gone. And all that I have left in Disney, my life and soul, and he's leaving me also. What will I do? How will I continue my life? So she approached Nimai one day and spoke the following words. She repeatedly fell unconscious to the ground and was unable to control the incessant flow of tears from her eyes. Choked up, she spoke as follows, "My dear son, do not leave. Do not leave your mother. This sinful person is surviving only by looking at your face. How will I survive without seeing your lotus eyes, your moon-like face, your reddish lips, your pearly teeth resembling kunda flowers, or your elephant-like gait? And how will I survive without hearing your words that shower nectar? Stay at home and happily perform Sankirtan in the company of your followers, headed by Advaita and Srivas, your intimate companion Nityananda, your dear friends like Gadadhar. You incarnate to preach religious principles. But what kind of religious principle is it to leave your mother? You are the personification of religious principles, yet you will leave your mother? How will you then teach religious principles to the world?" With great grief in her voice, Mother Sachi spoke these words. "Your brother has left me. Your father has gone to Vaikuntha, yet I will forget all my grief just by looking at your face. If you leave me, certainly I will die. My dear Garanga, it is not proper for you to leave your widowed mother. Perform kirtan with the devotees in your own house. Nityananda is there to assist you. I look at your two eyes filled with love and your long arms. Your words shower nectar. Without a lamp, my house is illuminated by the effulgence of your body. How much nectar emanates from your reddish lotus feet." Speaking in this way, Vrindavan Das Thakur said, "It was just like Kaushalya pleading with Ram, 'Don't go to the forest. Please stay. How will I maintain my life?'" Now, what was the motive of Ram going to the forest? Is to uphold the word of his father. But in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was no upholding the word of his father. There was no higher apparent, higher religious moral principle. What was that principle that was impelling Mahaprabhu to disregard the heart-rending plea of his mother? It was the compassion to deliver. To deliver who? To deliver the offenders. Those who had approached Mahaprabhu and insulted him, ready to beat him with sticks. For them, Mahaprabhu disregarded the words of his mother and left his perfectly chaste and faithful, loving wife at a tender teenage who had no shelter other than Mahaprabhu. And he left them. And all of his loving associates in Navadvipa, he left them. Why? What principle drove him to take sannyas? The principle of compassion. So he could freely move throughout all the land without any encumbrance and distribute love of God to anyone and everyone without consideration. Mahaprabhu listened. He couldn't speak. His voice was choked. He looked down. He couldn't even look at Mother Sachi and remained silent. Then the Lord replied. Listen to how he pacified Mother Sachi. My dear mother, pacify your mind and hear how many lifetimes I have been your son. Hear attentively about your own glory. Sometime in the past, your name was Prishni. At that time, you were my mother. Later, you were in heaven as Aditi. At that time, I incarnated as Vamana, and you were my mother. Later, you became Devahuti, and I again became your son as Lord Kapila. Then you became Kaushalya, and I again became your son as Ramachandra. Then you became Devaki in Mathura, and you were locked up within the prison of the demon Kamsa. At that time you were also my mother. You are that same Devaki, and I am that same your son. While inaugurating the Sankirtan movement, in my form as the deity, you are my mother as the earth. In the form of the holy names, you are my mother as the tongue. He's saying, I take two more forms. After leaving, I will manifest two more forms. Deity form and the form of the holy name. And you are my mother. In this way, you are my mother, birth after birth. There's never any separation between you and me. I have sincerely disclosed this to you, so that you should not feel any more grief. Hearing these words, Mother Sachi became somewhat pacified. Then as the day approached when Mahaprabhu would leave, in confidence he spoke to Lord Nityananda. He said, please tell in confidence only 5 persons what I'm about to do. Very soon, I'm going to leave Navadvip, go to Katwa, take the shelter of Keshava Bharati, receive sannyas initiation from him, shave my head, and search for Krishna. Please tell Chandrasekhar Acharya, Gadadhar Pandit, Mother Sachi, and 2 others he named. So the detail of the plan was laid. On the very evening that he was to take sannyas, Kolavechar Shridhar came from his home because one lauki, one pumpkin had grown on the roof, we've seen as we've been traveling around. And whenever pumpkin would grow on his roof, Shridhar would provide that for Nimai Pandit. So he came to the house of Mother Sachi and gave to Nimai Pandit his pumpkin. Nimai gave it to Mother Sachi, said, prepare with milk. This evening I will take this offer to our family deity. And Nimai took rest, but Mother Sachi didn't take rest because she knew. Mother Sachi was waiting, sitting by the door, sobbing incessantly. As he got up to leave the house, Mother Sachi knew this was it. He was leaving, and she may never see him again, as she had never seen again her only other son, Vishwarup. She was sobbing and sobbing and couldn't even speak. Mahaprabhu solaced her in the following way. He spoke to Mother Sachi. "You have maintained me very nicely. Because of you, I have studied and learned. Without caring a bit for your personal happiness, you have increased my pleasure throughout my life. The amount of affection you have shown to me at every moment is more than I can repay in millions of kalpas. Out of your mercy, I will be relieved of my debt, yet I will remain indebted to you life after life. Please listen, dear mother. This entire creation is under the control of the Supreme Lord. No one has the power to be independent. Who can understand the Supreme Lord's will, by which living entities sometimes meet and sometimes separate? Whether I leave now or after 10 days, you should not lament. I take full responsibility for both your worldly and spiritual needs." Placing his hand on Mother Sachi's chest, the Lord repeatedly solaced her, "I will take full care of you." Mother Sachi was silent. She listened. She made no reply. She just incessantly cried. Thus Mother Sachi, Mother of the Universe, became as grave and as quiet as Mother Earth. Then the Lord took dust from his mother's feet, placed the dust from her feet upon his head, circumambulated around Mother Sachi, and immediately left and didn't look back. When Mother Sachi was found the next morning at her doorway, same place where she was, because the Brahmana community, they had the practice after they would perform their morning duties, take their bath in the Ganga and worship their deity, they would come to pay their respects to Mother Sachi and take darshan of Mahaprabhu. And when they saw Mother Sachi, for days she had not eaten, her body was thin and emaciated, her face was just streaming with tears, they didn't have to ask. Everybody knew Mahaprabhu has gone. And they were all thinking, what is the use of life? Let us just go drown ourselves in the Ganges. Let us burn down this place, the whole city of Navadvip. What is the use of it? It'll just remind us of all the times we have seen Nimai Pandit moving in our midst. What is life worth for us now? One indication is that when Advaita Acharya came to hear, he said, "I am going at once to drown myself in the Ganges." And everyone said, "We're following you." But as they reached the Ganges, they heard a voice from the sky saying, "Not now. Mahaprabhu soon will be in your midst again. Go to your homes. You will see." Taking courage from that voice that they heard, with great sadness, they returned to their homes. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to Katwa. We came by car and bus. He came by foot. Because this was the place where Keshava Bharati was residing. Bharati is a name for one of the orders of sannyas from the Shankaracharya line. It's another one of the very deep subject matters. Why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take sannyas in such a line? Many different reasons. One of them was that so that others would accept, because the purpose of his accepting sannyas was for preaching. And those that would honor what the sannyas order was, largely in the land, was very much influenced by impersonalism. The Leela is described that as he approached Keshava Bharati to accept him as a sannyas disciple, Keshava Bharati understood by the influence of the presence of Mahaprabhu, how is this possible? I'm but a mortal, and you're not. But at the same time, understanding his transcendental desire, Keshava Bharati accepted that petition. So one of the rituals prior to sannyas initiation in the sannyas order for the Mayavad group, not only the hair was shaved, but even the shikha would be shaved. So they found the barber who was supposed to do it, and his name, ironically, was Madhu. Madhu couldn't do it. He refused. How can I cut the beautiful hair of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? I can't. Mahaprabhu insisted, you must. I can't. Somehow he managed and began shaving the head of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When we go to the house of Srinivas Acharya, we'll hear about Chaitanya Das, who saw in disbelief that their beloved Mahaprabhu is renouncing the world. He who is the Lord of the world is renouncing the world. What is this? And he's shaving his head like a mendicant, and he'll live with austerity and vows of a mendicant. He's our Lord. How is this? People crying and crying. You'll see from the picture. When Madhu finished shaving Mahaprabhu's head, he just collapsed on the ground with tears. In the pile of Mahaprabhu's hair. In disbelief of what he had done. Afterwards, he gave up his profession of a barber. He couldn't do it anymore. Took another profession. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas. The sannyas mantra was given. The danda was given. The kamandalu of Mahaprabhu was given. And he left Katwa. His plan, just as he had told Lord Nityananda, is he would then go search for Krishna. So where do you go search for Krishna? Vrindavan. So he started heading in the direction of Vrindavan, but he was in such a state of ecstasy he didn't know which way was Vrindavan. And the Leela continues. Lord Nityananda told the cowherd boys and along the way that Mahaprabhu was moving, when he asks you which way is Vrindavan, point in the direction of Shantipur.
Then from here 62 kilometers, this is called Suri. Then from there, some other Nityananda will take.
I can hear you, but the others cannot. So there's a place north of here. Mahaprabhu was... We are now north of Mayapur. Not exactly. We followed the path of the Ganges. We crossed the Ganges and been heading in a northerly direction. This is where Katwa is in relation to Mayapur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for some 62 kilometers was heading that direction, where Lord Nityananda, there's a particular place where he gave this instruction to the cowherd boys. Point in the direction of, he didn't say Shantipur, along the path of the Ganga. And then separately made an arrangement that Advaitacharya would get in a boat and receive Mahaprabhu and take him to Shantipur. The plan was to again reunite one final time Mother Sachi and the residents of Navadvip with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now as a sannyasi. So the significant, the spiritual, as mentioned, each of the places of Mahaprabhu's Leela has, the Leela has significance, and there's potency, spiritual potency invested in that place, commensurate with the, and in harmony with the Leela. So the act of the Supreme Controller accepting a path of austerity just to deliver those who were averse to him, to give himself unrestrictedly, wholly and solely for the benefit of those that are headed in the other direction, inimical, hateful, hurtful, atheistic, materialistic, to give himself fully to that mission. This is Katwa. And as a result, Gadadhar Das, who understood that mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, came here, made this his place of residence, and entered into Samadhi here as well. So we can offer our prayers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here in Katwa, that this compassion, compelling compassion that he felt, to put aside any kind of personal consideration for himself, it's a lila. But to put aside any personal consideration for himself, to give fully to the mission of delivering love of God to the conditioned souls. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lila here in Katwa. So, we'll end there.